And hello, welcome to this episode of Halos in the Infield. I'm Fernando, the Lone Star Halo, joined here by a guy, you know him, you love him. He's not just a guy, he's our guy, and well, the guy of many others. This is Dominic Lorenzo of Catella Chronicles. My friend, how are you? How are things? How are things in the world of covering the Ducks?
Well, things are doing great. Good to see you, Fernando. It's been a hot second since I've been on Heaty. We talked about it before we hit the record button. Life happens. So many crazy things going on, but life is good, busy. The Ducks, it's been a season. Not as bad as last year where the Ducks had their franchise worst season, but there's been some highs, there's been some lows. I used the term finish watching tonight's game against the Blackhawks. They were up 2-0. And then when I came upstairs, they were now losing 7-2. So,
wow, there you go.
Yeah, and then there's a big 10-minute melee of goalie fighting goalie, and it's just one of those situations where it's a little bit nuts. So, you know, rebuild's in full mode right now for the Anaheim Ducks, but, you know, it's still been a nice season overall, and as, you know, hockey gives way to baseball, we're in spring training. I'm looking forward to talking about the Angels again. Catella Chronicles, we've rebranded, still at Catella_CHRON. Our good buddy Randy Yaz from the One Jets Pod and Fast Times Under the Halo, he rebranded our logos, so we are all ready to roll for the 2024 Angels baseball season.
Well, make sure to give them a follow. They'll be plugging the whole time. Don't you worry, as Dominic always does. I'm sure everyone who's listening to this probably already follows Catella Chronicles. But if you don't, make sure to give them a follow. They do great stuff over there. And while you're at it, if you're not subscribed already, if you're new to this channel, subscribe down below. You're always welcome to join us in the comments. Let us know what you want us to cover, talk about, all that and more. You can also reach out via social media at Halos in the Infield, almost on any social media platform. So if you want to find us there, you probably can. Simply type in Halos in the Infield. And Catella Chronicles at Catella, C-H-R-O-N, or underscore C-H-R-O-N.
The underscore is very important these days.
I'm also sure that if you just type in Catella Chronicles generically, I'm sure it'll come up.
It would be there as well.
But we still have to throw out the official username, which we did. So, while we are talking, and while we get everything going here, we get the juice and flow, we're going to talk a little bit about spring training. Dominic, have you gone out to Tempe ever?
I have not. I have not had the privilege. Most of the time when spring training's going on, it's either I'm at college, I'm working in minor league baseball, and typically the month before the season, you're getting all media stuff, ticket sales, all the preseason festivities going on. And then recently covering high school baseball in Huntington Beach with the Huntington Beach Oilers, I'm in the middle of high school baseball season. So it's a little treacherous at this point. The goal is to get down there at some point, maybe not this year, but hopefully next year or in the future. But I hear nothing but great things from not just Tempe Diablo, but many other facilities out there. I actually, fun, quick little antidote story. 2020 during COVID, when I moved out to West Virginia for minor league baseball, came back due to the season being canceled, took a road trip back home from West Virginia to California, took the southern route. When we got to Arizona, even though the ballparks were closed, let me go to as many ballparks as I can and at least snap a photo to say I've at least been on the same property as a spring training facility. So Tempe, the Dodgers facility, the A's facility, the Cubs facility, and the Guardians/Reds facility, and Milwaukee. So about seven of them.
Seven out of the ten.
Yeah. I haven't physically gone in them, but I can at least say I was in the parking lot. It was like, hey, I'm here. So you never know what can happen.
Hey, you know what? Good enough.
I'll take it.
Tempe Diablo, by far the worst. I don't think that's much of a hot take. I think most people will agree it is by far, at the current second, the worst spring training facility.
That's what I hear. And from what I saw, it just seemed like an atypical minor league baseball stadium.
Nothing absolutely flashy. Best way to describe it. Honestly, it looks just like an Inland Empire.
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of worn on the outside.
Yes.
Parking lot's almost exactly the same.
If I had a rank out of the ones that I stood outside of and just kind of put my head through the fencing just to see what was going on, if I had to rank the best, I honestly really love the outlook of the Cubs facility, Sloan Park.
Okay, so I have. I personally have not gone there.
Okay,
I haven't gone to the Oakland A's facility.
That one looked like like the Angels facility, like a minor league ballpark, but fresher coat of paint. It looked more modern and
updated. They did recently redo it, from my understanding, because I think they may have shared a facility with the Cubs before.
Yeah,
if before memory Strong serves Park. Correctly, I think they did originally. Okay, and then it turned into a single facility. Yep. Salt River Field, I have not gone to, and that's
I've heard great things about it.
Same, I hear that's the best in Arizona by a lot of people. And that's home to the Diamondbacks and to Colorado.
And I think a lot of college and high school tournaments take place there. That's like
the
hosting facility.
Yes, yes. So those are the only three I haven't gone to. Out of the ones I've gone to, I would say my favorite is probably Goodyear.
That's a good
the
one.
Reds. And who's the second team? The White Sox? No. Reds and the Guardians.
Ohio. Yeah. Ohio.
Yeah. The White Sox, sure, were the Dodgers. And Camelback Ranch, another beautiful ballpark.
The color scheme of Camelback Ranch doesn't thrill me, though. Yeah, it's like the desert sand with the desert tones and those ugly beigey white-looking seats. It's just like not as aesthetically pleasing, I will say that.
I've only been at Camelback Ranch once. That's the one I've been to the least. And actually, that's where I got Tim Tebow to sign this jersey, was inside of that ballpark. And then the baseball I have in this case, I got him to sign in the parking lot there at Camelback Ranch when he was on his Arizona Fall League journey.
Oh, there we go.
Which I believe that was the same year maybe that Ty Buttrey was in there. And we never crossed paths back then.
There was no crossing paths back then. But that was a – man, what a time to look back. 2016, 2017, that little era right there. That was
what an interesting time to be alive.
The pre-COVID Arizona Fall League and minor league days, those are the days I miss sometimes. I really do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So perhaps next year, maybe we really, really need a set of time. Like, hey, these 3 or 4 days, everyone from Halo's in infield, let's go. We're all going to split an Airbnb.
Yep.
We're going to get some tickets, and we're going to go to a couple games. Have a good time.
And it's spring training. You don't need physical seats. You just buy the cheapest ticket, walk around the ballpark, find some shade. It's go to the picnic. I know that's one thing. I'm not a huge person when it comes to Angel games. I like – there's like 3 or 4 different areas of the ballpark that I am content with. I always love the upper 400s above home plate in between the on-deck circles.
My dad loves those seats.
The 300 level on the first base side because I can look into the Angels dugout. And, you know, when my uncle, who was an usher who worked there, he was always placed above the visiting dugout closer to the on-deck circle. He has now retired at the end of the 2023 season. So he will no longer
be. Congratulations to him.
You know, he was there for 14 seasons. Well, minus COVID. So 13 seasons, technically. He still does tours at the stadium on the off time. But I will be sad that I can't get my cheap seats and then halfway through the game on a Monday, slip on down there. But I still have friends in some high places. There's certain areas I love around the ballpark. I'm never a huge outfield guy. Just because I don't feel I'm as much as in the action.
Oh, I love it.
But I feel it's spring training. It's completely different with the picnic areas and just the lounging on the ground, very minor league-esque.
Yep.
So I could see myself doing that, but I think that's just the statistician and the broadcaster in me. I want to be like on top of the game. And that's just me being me.
When I had my Angels season tickets for 5, 6 seasons, I'm counting 2020, by the way. I know it doesn't. We didn't get to go in, but I paid for the ticket.
You paid for the ticket.
I am counting it because it ended up being my last year as a season holder. I moved.
Yep.
I had to move for work. So, my seats were in section 238, row N, seat 15 and 16, right in between Trout and Calhoun. So
there we go.
I do
want to sit one day in the outfield. But I want the first row A, so you're on the railing looking down. Like, I want that
I did that a couple
vision.
Times, you know, because you couldn't make it to a game or two. So, you know, I would call my season ticket rep, and they would try to get me up there. So One time I got row one. In 5 years, only one time I got to sit there.
Yeah.
One other time I paid out of pocket. So I'm not counting this. I sat there twice. And then probably like 5 or 6 times out of those 5 years, I got to sit in row two.
But for me, it's got to be a night game because this pale white skin, that ain't going to hang in a 1:10 p.m. game in the summer.
Dude, so during the freeway series in, I want to say 2018, maybe 2019.
Okay.
And any Angels fan who was there that day will remember. It was a freeway series. It was a day game. I think it was a Saturday during the day. And it was 119 degrees. Oh. It was the hottest at game time first pitch in Angel Stadium history. And man, oh man, like I said, section 238 in the outfield, there is zero shade.
No.
Man, oh man, was I dying that day.
An easy up wasn't even going to fix you at that point. You're just baking at that point, and I can't do that. Like, the hottest Angel game I think I can remember was near the end of the season. It was one of those hot September. I think it was like 2014, 2015. Angels were playing the Rangers, and we were in the 200 level near home plate in the covered shade. And boy, oh boy, my ass was like a magnet to those seats. I was stuck like glue, and I'm in the shade. And I can only imagine on the field, but the hottest game I've ever been a part of in my minor league days was 2018, 4th of July weekend in Lake Elsinore. And I know you're familiar with the Lake Elsinore Storm ballpark.
Extremely.
playing against the Visalia Rawhide. It was game seven of a 10-game homestand. Remember, this is the days where there was 3-4-game series, not the off on Monday 6 games in a row type
series. Yeah, 5 or 6 in a row now.
Yeah. So it was game seven of a 10-game homestand. So we're all the workers, we're extremely exhausted. We just came off a big 4th of July, like 8,000-person sellout crowd, and we're exhausted. And what happens the next day? 6 o'clock game. Okay. Yeah. First pitch, 1:13.
Hey, that's for us in Lake Elsinore. You know what?
I volunteered that day because I didn't broadcast that day. I was doing other things with promotion because it was still a busy weekend. And we were doing a skit of a dancing umpire that gets dunked with water. I volunteered for that shit so fast.
I will
make a fool of myself to get dunked with fresh water. Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, be happy that you never, ever had to go broadcast a game in Bakersfield. You want to talk about the worst facility. Was it Fredlin or Samlin? Field, or it was one of those
Samlin ballpark,
absolutely dog water stadium. The bullpens were made out of wood, and it used to face towards where the sunset.
Yep,
you were facing the sunset.
So ballparks nowadays face away from the sun. The sun is behind the stadium, so by the time a game starts, it's behind in the pit. You know, you can see. Not in Bakersfield in 1940 when they built this sucker. Sun is in dead center field. Batter can't see nothing. Pitcher's advantage. That ballpark was glorified dog water. It was so bad. I remember when they were still playing in 2016 before the merger and they got cut. Giving that ballpark a run for hottest press box, Visalia. Easily. My friend, she was their broadcaster for 4 years. Now she's in West Virginia, Jill Guerin. She went through the days of it was a cement bomb shelter. It was literally, it doesn't matter. And in the Central Valley in California, it's worse for a 5 o'clock game in the summer than it would be at high noon because the heat's going to settle. You're going to eat it. It's that bad. So there's been some detrimental ballparks. I've been lucky in my day here in SoCal, Rancho, the Dodgers stadium, Angels ballpark in San Bernardino, Lake Elsinore. We always had air conditioning.
You never did High Desert, did you?
I never broadcasted in High Desert. However, I did go there as a fan once. And I remember the day the Sixers lost to the High Desert Mavericks on a walk-off in the 10th. It was the night the Angels scored 21 or 22 runs at Fenway Park.
Okay, I remember that day. Yes.
Yeah, it was like May or June 2nd, 2016, or May 2nd. It was early in the summer.
I think CJ Chrome was like a single away from the cycle or something.
Yeah, and he had like six RBIs. It was
something crazy.
Wild game. I don't remember the game itself, like the Inland Empire game. I remember it was a walk-off for the other team. But I remember the Angels were blowing the doors off of Boston that night.
Yes, good old Stater Brothers Field. You want to talk about another bad minor league ballpark?
We could have a whole show just dedicated on ballparks. Just let's diagram the entire California League and throw them under the bus. But
hey, I'm totally in. Modesto, you're next.
I've broadcasted there and I've been there. We can get there. I've been to every Cal League ballpark except for San Jose and Stockton.
You never did the Stockton Ports ballpark. I don't know what they call it nowadays. Lone Mart?
Lone Mart used to. Well, Lone Mart is still technically Rancho, but their lease agreement is up, so the signage is still up, but it's technically has no name right now. But Stockton is Banner Island Ballpark.
Okay. Yeah. I never got to go there in any capacity.
I don't want to speak ill about the city of Stockton, but let's just say
I stayed in the city of Stockton many times.
Okay, so you know what I'm going at here. You know, yeah. when you're in Stockton, I'll say this nicely, pinging sounds. Boop, 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 boop. You know, I'll just say this. Have your weapons license.
I saw a news article. Gosh, probably about 7 years ago now. Like 6-5 years ago. So somewhere in the ballpark, 5 to 7 years. Yeah. That Stockton was the number one rated city for ugliest men in America. So if you're listening from Stockton, I'm sorry. These are the facts, folks.
That's why most of the men in Stockton live next door in Lodi. For those that are listening or watching, Google Lodi in comparison to Stockton. Not much of a difference, but some say it makes all the difference in the world. I can't speak. Sorry, hey, I can't speak.
I used to have to drive to do pest control in both, and both pretty trash cities. Sorry if anyone's listening from those cities.
Speaking of trash cities, let's talk about a trash franchise.
Yeah, exactly. So we just kind of wanted to have some banter here on today's episode about spring training and your opinion on what's going on. We're at about what? I would say the midway point of the spring. What surprised you this early?
I will say nothing. I'll be honest. Nothing has really surprised me in the sense like I didn't see it coming. Okay. I think what has made me feel comfortable and content is the way Ron Washington is managing spring training. You're seeing everybody get ample time in either a reserve role or a starter's role, again, with the exceptions of the Drurys, the Trouts, you know, the atypical starters. But all the bench guys, you're seeing a rotation of sprinkling them in. You're seeing a wealth of pitchers being used in a variety of different situations. You're not seeing X pitcher always coming in the middle relief. Maybe he'll throw in the eighth, next game in the fourth. It depends on the situation. I just really loved seeing some guys getting their first shot at spring training. Like, you know, Shawnwell, he came up last year and he hit the docket fast. This is his first spring and he already has big league time. So he's really not learning. He's now in the refinement stage. Zach Neto, same thing. And I would even consider Logan Ohapi a little bit because the way he entered the Angels organization in that trade deadline in 2022 and last offseason acclimating himself. Now the first full offseason where he's an Angel, he can focus. And this is his first true spring training where he is the guy. There is no Max Stassi. There is no, you know, Kurt Suzuki. Yes, there's Chad Wallach. Yes, there's Matt Theis, but there is no competition. So seeing those guys to take advantage of where we have and where the depth chart lies right now, I really like what I'm seeing. And again, give a big boost to Ron Washington. For those that don't know, MLB Network did their annual 30 clubs in 30 days tour with the Angels over the weekend. And I think the videos came out yesterday or on Sunday. I don't remember specifically, but you know, they interview Ohapi and Neto and Ron Washington. And there's a different aura about these players just in their speaking. And I don't know if it's just themselves being a year older on this team as more of a leadership mentality, or is it the love of a good coaching staff and a new coaching staff? So for me, on that element of everything, and let's not forget, the Angels are in contention for their third title of the Cactus League Championship here.
Yes, they got sir.
They got to battle Kansas City. They got to battle Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers, who the Angels so far lead the World Series against the Dodgers 1-0-1. So, you know, put that in your champagne.
Yeah, so, you know, I've already kind of beat the drum on the spring training situation. The guys who have impressed me, who haven't. So there's really nothing new to add in that capacity. I love everything you've said. I didn't know the 30 for 30 came out. So I'll have to see. Maybe I can find some of those clips on YouTube or.
Yeah, they're all on social media. You'll find them on Twitter, everywhere. I think the biggest, and we were talking about this before we hit record, was the biggest point of contention, I think, that all Angel fans have talked about. Yes, we've all been eyeing, no pun intended, to the Instagram post, Blake Snell. There's all the rumors that have gone on about he wants to be an Angel. It's in the ball is in the Angels' court in this situation. It's all a matter of, is Artie Moreno going to pull the trigger? Okay, that conversation element, we've been put at nauseam with the words Artie Moreno. Okay, you know, we have PTSD about it. The real question now that we have numbers on paper of what certain pitchers, now again, we know this, sometimes spring training stats do not equate to Major League Baseball regular season stats. You could have a crappy spring and a great season, or a great season and a great spring and a crappy season. Nothing is mutually exclusive. So take food for thought. Patrick Sandoval has not looked good at all. His ERA is over 10 in 3 starts. It is not good. Detmers, he had, I think his first start was fine, and then the other two weren't great. Canning, good start, got roughed up last time around, but I still have faith. Silseth looks great. Tyler Anderson looks Mendoza line, palatable at that point. And there you go.
Starting rotation.
Yeah, starting rotation-wise, nothing has jumped off the page. So I will say this. If I did have to pick something that has surprised me, it's that no one has really grabbed the bull by the horns and said, I'm the opening day starter based on my performance. Because right now, if I had to make a decision, I would put Chase Silseth in this position. But if I know Ron Washington's mind, Griffin Canning is going to be your opening day starter.
I have my money on Griffin Canning as well for opening day starter. If you would have asked me, you know, like a month ago, hey, who's going to be the opening day starter? I probably would have said Detmers.
I agree. Like
before spring training started.
Yes.
I think Canning is probably the guy right now. But a plan B option, and I think it would be because of his veteran presence, Tyler Anderson. I'm not saying that because he's going to, you know, take the world by storm. He deserves to be an ace, anything like that. I think it would. The only reason he might get it is because, you know, he's kind of been there, done that kind of thing before.
Yeah, and it depends. It depends at this point with pitching coach Barry Enright where they feel they need to be. And again, you do have to take matchup into consideration. But even though this is Ron Washington, this is not Phil Nevin we're talking about anymore. Or Matt Wise, ex-pitching coach. So, you know, it depends what Baltimore puts out to the table. But we all know pretty staunchly that opening day is not about matchups. You're not going to alter your pitching rotation. It's going to be we named a starter. Whatever their lineup is, you go out. It's opening day. Hallelujah.
For the Orioles, is it probably not Corbin Burns?
Unless – it could be, I would say, based on, again, veteranship, it would be Corbin Burns. He is new to the organization, so maybe they might go with one of their younger, developmental, established pieces that got them to the playoffs last year, like a Dean Kramer or, I'm blanking on the other name, but maybe one of those, and maybe put Corbin Burns in game 2. Because remember, Angels play on Thursday, they have Friday off, and then they play Saturday, Sunday before going to Fenway. Yes. So you can alter the pitching rotation, and who knows? I wouldn't be shocked the way that Ron Washington has gone about spring with stretching out Wentz and Soriano. If maybe on opening day you see a little bit of a piggyback situation with that day off on Friday.
I hope not. Just because I don't want to open up that can of worms already.
I agree. And that's more of a minor league type move. But again, now the situation, let's say Tyler Anderson gets a start and he's struggling in the third inning. Well, then your hand is kind of forced in that situation. I don't think it would be done on purpose. And because of that, if I had to go in the mind of Ron Washington, I would put my money on Griffin Canning, because if you look at everything that's been said, Ron Washington speaks very, very highly of Griffin Canning.
All right. So you brought up these three already, and I want you to tell me, I'm going to ask you the name and you're going to tell me if you're worried about them. Yes or no. And okay. I'm not just talking about the spring. I'm talking about last season carrying over. Okay.
Gotcha.
Patrick Sandoval. Are you worried?
I'll go on a scale of 1 to 10.
Sure. So 10 being, oh my God, like this
sky's falling, trade him now. Yeah. I would say on Patrick Sandoval, because of what we saw from him at the World Baseball Classic, I'm at about an 8. Because
going to say 7.
Yeah, I would 7, 8 in that range, because we saw a couple of instances last year that Patrick Sandoval looked like the Patrick Sandoval we knew. And then he had some really dog moments, and then it's the inability to throw strikes that's the problem. He'll get into too many walk scenarios, and at the end of the day, he'll have 5 1/3 innings pitched, but he'll have 5 walks and 3 strikeouts. That you're too many free base paths on that point. So right now I'm at an 8, because we have viewed him as a leader of this pitching staff. He's been there one of the longest, if not the longest, out of the starting core that we have, and he should know better. So I don't know if it's a mental thing, a physical thing. Maybe it's the talent that we thought he had that he maybe doesn't have. I don't know what the combination is right now, and I think at this point, if Ron Washington and Barry Enright can't get what we hope from Sandoval, you're treading into a point of the Joe Adele situation of you can't trade him because he's got no value anymore. So I'm at, I will say 7.5, 8. Yeah, I'm worried.
Okay. I think that Sandoval has value because he's still young and controllable. Here's my thing. Perhaps a guy like Sandoval would need to go to a different organization to start to succeed. Because let's face it, as Angels fans, the Angels want to have a pitching factory here. I've seen the headlines. Yep. But the Angels have not been known for revitalizing any careers.
Lincecum, Bundy, Cahill, Harvey. Am I giving anybody PTSD again?
Yeah, right. I mean, I was going to say Cahill and I was going to say Harvey. You kind of threw them both out there. Yeah, and then there's other guys who were kind of unproven, who had a flash in the pan of success, and they just weren't able to get it back here. Parker Bridwell being one of the big names. J.C. Ramirez. Both guys showed tons of potential, were never able to do anything with it.
Yeah,
hell, Jaime Barria.
You had maybe one good year or three quarters of a good year, then they puttered out, and you think, okay, they puttered out, let's see what they got next season, and then it was a train wreck. Looking at Patrick Sandoval right now, yes. Is he still controllable? He's arbitration eligible for the next 2 offseasons, and then he's an unrestricted free agent after the 2026 season. So technically, the Angels have him for 3 more seasons, and he's getting $5 million this year. So if you keep up that trend, that's 3 years, $15 million in that range with the arbitration money, which is fine. The money's not killing us. I think this needs to be a season where he proves it, because last year was not a good year. 2022 was better, but then 2021, there was, you know, there's too much inconsistencies. In the era that we are in now of Angels baseball, Ron Washington wants consistency, and he's demanding consistency.
All right, Reed Detmers.
4, 4.5.
I would say 6.
Okay. I'm a little less, I think, because I've seen more positive out of Reed Detmers over the last two seasons than Sandoval. And, you know, and I'm not saying that just because Reed Detmers had the no-hitter 2 years ago and the almost no-hitter against Texas last year. You know,
How was that game?
Yeah, yeah. The evolution of Reed Detmers' stuff, his arsenal, I think has developed more over the last 2 years than Patrick Sandoval. Sandoval has kind of flatlined and gone down, gone back up to that flatline, flatlined again. Reed Detmers has gone up, down a little bit, but then he picks himself back up. So I think on the trajectory side of things, that's why I'm not as worried. And again, the Angels have a plethora of lefties in their rotation. So maybe that's why it's a 4.5, maybe not a 5 or a 6.
For me, it's a 6 because the problem with Reed Detmers for me has always been the fact that he lacks that pitch, the pitch to get out of it, the pitch to force a ground ball because, you know, the batter is battling.
Yep.
And he just can't seem to get that pitch to get over the hump and get that out. You know, force a fly out, force a ground out. I think Reed Detmers has always kind of struggled to have an identity as a pitcher because there's strikeout pitchers, there's ground ball pitchers, and there's fly ball pitchers. There's nothing wrong with being any of the three as long as you know where you belong and you find your strength in that.
I will say the whole situation of not having, I would say, maybe that out pitch or that signature pitch, I think – and we could talk about all Angel pitchers, not just starters, but bullpen as well. We're in an era, as we talk about it, the StatCast era and the metrics and everything that the Angels coaching staff, not talking about Ron Washington because we haven't seen them in a regular season game yet, but the Nevin era, the Madden era, all the eras prior, before Mike Scioscia, everything from Scioscia to now, everything has been, well, it's a 1-2 count. He bats like this, so throw him this pitch. Maybe Detmers isn't comfortable with it, but the numbers tell me this. So I wonder in the case of Detmers and maybe other pitchers, if we get away, and hopefully Barry Enright does this and Ron Washington can agree, they get away from doing that all the time and more, Detmers, what do you want to do? Does it corroborate with what we have? Let's combine the efforts and go from there. That's when I think we will see opportunities to maybe see if a development of an out pitch happens instead of being throwing our pitchers in murky situations.
Okay. So this guy is a reliever, but I know we have to slowly start wrapping up here.
Yeah.
So I'll throw out one more that I want to get your opinion of, and then, you know, we can throw it to you for any closing thoughts and we'll go from there. So Carlos Estevez. Where are you on your panic alarm for a guy who is, I guess, at the current moment, or at least at the beginning of spring training, was written in pencil as the closer? Obviously, this time there was some competition because there were some signings made.
Yes.
But he, in 4 games and 4 innings pitched, he only has 1 strikeout for a guy that has been known for a power arm, and he's got an ERA of 6.75 in those 4 games. Are you worried?
I want to say yes, but I want to say no. The reason why I'm in between, so I'm going to go with this on a 5 because I feel he's pitching the way he truly is. I really do believe looking at his second half of last year when it collapsed and the start of spring, I'm beginning to feel that the first half of last year was a little bit of a mirage and he caught luck and he jumped on it and took advantage of a situation and by all means, good for him. And hopefully we can get that Carlos Estevez back. But when the right-handed reliever in Robertson comes back, or is it Stevenson? Pardon me, Stevenson. Right? Stevenson.
Yeah, from the Rays.
Yeah, sorry, Stevenson, not Robinson. Sorry, Stevenson. When he comes back and he's fully healthy, because I know he hasn't pitched and there's questions right now, he is the closer. And I haven't even seen a lick of him yet. He is the closer. I don't think Carlos Estevez, and I really do believe, I don't even know if Carlos Estevez is the setup guy right now. And you really are not going to throw Estevez in the sixth inning. It makes no sense. It's a really intriguing situation because I'll be honest, for the bullpen right now, Matt Moore is a lock. He's been nothing but great since he's been an Angel. Adam Simber is going to be a lock out of this bullpen. Stevenson will be in the bullpen.
Some people had originally mentioned Drew Pomeranz, and he had started off hot, but I think, you know, ball never lies. I mean, he's struggled his last outing.
If you want that left-handed middle reliever, sure, but I do think that that hole might be occupied by Jose Suarez. I think Suarez might win a bullpen job, and I know I've been on record saying before that I believe Suarez is going to be a better bullpen guy than he was a starter. He doesn't have the stamina to be a starter. And looking at the Angels, you know, bullpen right now, it's Estevez, Moore, okay.
Yeah, Sam Locks.
Locks. Adam Simber, I feel, is a lock.
I can agree with that for now, yeah.
We haven't seen much of Luis Garcia this
year. I forgot he was even signed.
You know, so they signed him. So he'll be a part of the bullpen. Robert Stevenson, I feel, is your closer. To me, and I know this might be a hot take because everybody loves him, I think Ben Joyce is going to start the year at AAA. I really don't believe it. I think based on what Ron Washington said, and I saw the game where Joyce gave up four runs to the Giants? And he said, you can have all the velocity you want, but you got to execute and you got to be smart. And he was kind of calling Ben Joyce out, saying, you may be a hot flamethrower, but you need to reel it in and refocus. And he had the bounce back outing, but then the last outing wasn't good. And personally, I would rather see him start at AAA, get his feeling back under him after all the injuries that he went through last season. Take the month of April, get your confidence, get the command, and then come back. So the bullpen.
Do you put him in Rocket City, given the fact that, you know, you don't want to shatter his confidence because, you know, if you put him in the PCL, he might get lit up.
Yeah. Good point. I don't want to say that's a demotion for him because he went from AA to the big leagues. He never put on a B's uniform. Good point. I think he should start at the minor leagues. And I'm not saying, you know,
I think he should be a closer in the minor leagues. I mean, because here's the thing.
Yeah.
In theory, he is the future closer of this organization, right? Yeah. In theory, all goes
in
well.
Theory. Yeah. I think
most people see him eventually having that role.
Yeah.
So, honestly, if he stays in the minors this whole year, this is probably a lost year. I think we all kind of know that deep inside. This is most likely a rebuild, step in the right direction year. It's what the Ducks and the Coyotes were hoping for. We have our young pieces of our core. We're going to let them play. We're going to let them figure it out at the big league level like the Ducks and the Coyotes did. And that's what the Angels are hoping to do. So if Ben Joyce isn't going to be part of that, if he doesn't make the team out of camp, let him figure it out in the minor leagues. So next year when we don't have a closer in theory because Estevez is gone, you can give him the keys. And what? Let's just say Estevez has a good first half. Trade him, get something for him. And you know what? Ben Joyce looks good. Let's give him a shot.
It's going to be like that extra credit year or extra credit assignment in school. If you do the extra credit, it's only a bonus. If you don't do it, it can't hurt you. Let him be in the minors. Even, like I said, even if it's just for the month of April, just let him get his wings under him. He's had a rough spring. Let him beat up on some younger guys with 104 cheese down the middle or wherever. He's got to work on his effectiveness. The velocity is going to be there. Let him work on his effectiveness. But the bullpen right now, and we didn't even bring up guys like Sam Bachman. Bachman's a middle relief type situation. Soriano, I know they might want him to be a starter, but if all five guys are healthy out of spring, and let's say the Angels do get a Blake Snell, Soriano's not going to be in the rotation. He'll go back to the pen. Wance would go back to the pen. So the options are open. I do like about this Angels squad right now, even though we didn't go out and get a flashy free agent as of right now, the flashiest free agent we got was
Stevenson.
That was the flash. If we don't go out and get a flash, I do appreciate the depth that the Angels have put together, that Perry put together. It wasn't big names, But so far, it's veteran names that will add to the bullpen. So I like where we're going. But you know, at rounding out the whole Estevez topic, I'm 50-50 because I think he is who he is at this point, and I don't think he's the closer. I think it was a little bit of a mirage.
Okay, cool. Well, I mean, we will see as we get a little bit closer to the opening day roster materializing where Estevez fits. But I'm going to say I'm at a 7 with him as well. He obviously had a horrible second half.
Yeah.
Seemed like he wasn't confident anymore up there. So the spring's still early. Perhaps they wanted him to work on his, you know, whatever. Hey, work on just your fastball. Yep. So that's the thing with spring training. You never know, especially with pitchers, right? You know, and if a certain pitcher doesn't have a good grip for a pitch, or if they're working on a new pitch, or a pitch they might not be very confident with, that's when they use it in spring. So that could be the reason why he's getting lit up. And now he's going to start to dial it back a little bit, fine tune. And then all of a sudden, maybe he looks really hot ending spring. So you never really know with pitchers.
And like we talk about all the time, you could have a crappy spring and a good regular season and vice versa. So, you know, I think, again, that's why I'm saying it's a 5. Time will tell. He is who he is. Let's see if he ramps up. And, again, that's what your pitching coaches and your development, you know, staff is for. And, you know, Ron Washington's not going to let anything slip through the cracks.
Well, Mr. Dominic Lorenz of Catella Chronicles, do you have anything in closing? It is a late evening here in Texas, so we want to start putting a bow on this episode.
Yes, we shall. I will return the favor to you, and we can answer it here briefly, and we'll carry it over to the next time because the Angels were off today as we record, and then they'll get back into spring training work the rest of the week. 3 outfielders, Adell, Moniak, and Hicks. So far, Hicks has played well. Adell has had moments. Moniak's probably been the least of the 3. You know Taylor Ward's your starting left fielder.
Yes.
Mike Trout's in center, no doubt about it.
Yes.
Who gets the primary time out in right field this season?
It's hard. Joe Adell, you kind of don't have a choice, has to be up here unless you were talking about trading him or waiving him. He's out of options.
Yep.
So he has to make the squad or it is over. So yep. I think he gets a pass, assuming the Angels don't make any other signing, because I do think in a world where they sign a Snell or a Montgomery, that a guy like Joe Adell is going to get paired in a trade with, I really do think it's going to be a Suarez, Detmers, or a Sandoval. You can't have that many lefties.
Yep.
They're going to try to pair him with one of those guys, and they're going to get whatever they can. I think that's how it's going to be if there's another signing that gets made. If not, I think Moniak has to start at the AAA level because he's the only guy who's got options here, right? You signed Aaron Hicks to a major league contract.
A 1-year deal. I believe it was 1 year, $1.5 million. Like, it was, you know, cheap deal.
And he's had a fairly decent spring.
Defense has been on point. He's hit with runners in scoring position. So for me right now, just based on the track record, I'll say it as concisely as I can. I would put Hicks as your everyday right fielder.
Yep.
And because of the handcuff situation that Adell has the Angels in right now, he would get that bench spot and Moniak would go to AAA. I don't know if that's what I want to happen, but I think when the numbers and what's on paper right now, that's the only methodical answer that works in this situation.
Absolutely. Because the only other thing I could think of is, I mean, is Aaron Hicks a potential trade candidate if he has a decent first half and maybe a contender is looking for, a right fielder because they had an injury or something? I think that's where he could be used. You know, if you have these rentals, somebody has interest. I mean, look, a couple of years ago, the Angels got Ian Kinsler.
Yep.
And then they traded him for a guy like a Ty Buttrey, right? A journeyman, longtime minor leaguer.
Yep.
And they wanted an arm out of the bullpen. Like, that's the kind of move you should make in those situations for these rentals.
And I think if Joe Adell makes the active roster, breaks camp. Yeah. The month of April or end of March, all of April is do or die. If he does not perform in April, trade him, waive him, whatever you got to do, fall on the sword, and you have to say you wasted your time on your first round pick and then get down to business. So, you know, because what Adele has put on paper so far, it's palatable for the big league level. To me, if he can bat 250, get 15 home runs, and 40 to 50 RBIs, we will definitely take that over what he has done or not done in the past. So it's going to be something over the last 2 weeks of spring training that's really going to iron itself out. Rotation and right field, because those are pretty much the two spots that are truly up for grabs. Because trust me, we do not need to see Luis Ranjifo out in the outfield anymore.
Please. No, thank you. We've seen enough of that over the years.
Help us now, please.
Exactly. All right, Dominic, anything else in closing?
No, cheers to you. Good to be back. We're talking Angels baseball. We're finishing up Ducks at Catella Chronicles. Again, work is crazy. Life is crazy, but it's so good to talk to you about Angels baseball. I know we'll be talking to Todd soon and the whole Heedy crew. We'll have you guys on Catella Chronicles ASAP. And,
please.
And you know how it goes. Whatever you see on Catella Chronicles, it gets shared with Heedy and vice versa. So no matter what happens, you get the best of both worlds here for Halos in the infield. So follow them. Do what you got to do. Follow Catella Chronicles if you like. You know, we're always here as well. And what are we, 2.5 weeks as of – no, 2 weeks as of Thursday until opening day.
Hopefully we can get you guys on for a round table. You know, when the round table comes up, we'll figure out the times so we can get everybody on, as many people in the Hitty umbrella to give predictions as per usual.
Let's do it, man. I'm looking forward to it. The two-week warning here, folks. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy the last minute of spring. And guess what? Let's go for that third title of Cactus League Champions.
Three-peat.
Let's go.
On behalf of everyone here at Halos in the Infield and our friends over at Catella Chronicles, thank you so much for tuning in wherever you may be.